Chas v'Shalom fall into any place where a person thinks there's only this world and there's no next world. And Rav Enizal said that this has to be done b'klolius u'b'protius. B'klolius, in a general way, a person does this once a day, let's say, when they get up in the morning. The moment the person gets up, which means they're re-entering this atmosphere of Olam Hazeh, when a person went to sleep and Shama went up to Olam Haba, and was judged and everything. When a person gets up in the morning, the first thought that's supposed to come into a person's mind is, remember that everything that's going to go on is only for one tachlis, the tachlis being Olam Haba. Then Rabbi Enizal said, in a proteus way, a person has to be doing this all day in terms of being alert and realizing that Hashem speaks to the person, to every single person, Odom, Mokoyim, Zma, every single person, in every place, at all times. Hashem communicates with the person, b'machshovo dibur ha'maisa, hinting to the person ways as to how that person can get to Olam Haba. And a person who's alert for this and watching out for this all day, that person is in touch with Olam Haba, plain and simple. That person isn't looking at what's going on in this world as an ends unto itself, but rather he knows that everything that's happening to him within Gashmias, during his meals, at work, while he's sleeping, everything is all connected. It's all Hashem trying to hint him all kinds of different ways to bring him closer to Hashem, which means to get him to this ultimate tachlis, which is Olam Haba. This is what we spoke about so far. And Rabbi Enizal said that you should know that this item, a person has to be careful to do it b'mido u'b'tzimtzum, because a person could do this to a certain extreme that's wrong. We mentioned the concept of darkei ha'moiri, where the Torah gives certain examples of a person who sees a bird fly by and tries to interpret it and to make all kinds of spiels about it, wrong kinds of interpretations. Rabbi Enizal says a person has to be careful to do this within their own level, not go above their own level. As the Pasuk says, b'mufla mimcha al tidroish, u'b'mechusa mimcha al tachkor. Mimcha, b'mufla mimcha al tidroish, meaning each person on their own wavelength. And Rabbi Enizal also mentioned that as far as what aspect of Hashem is it that's communicating in this world, in other words, kavyocha, we speak about Hashem Echod, but when we think in terms of Hashem, kavyochol, there's different levels. We talk about ze'er anpin, orech anpin. Ze'er means small, orech means large or long. So kavyochol by Hashem, there's different levels of rachmonis, different levels of kedusha. Rabbi Enizal said you should know that the level of Hashem that's communicating with a person on this level, within all their gashmias, within all that's happening to the person throughout the day, Hashem sending these messages, that's the lowest level of Hashem. Kavyochol, it's Hashem's feet. As the Pasuk says, v'ha'oretz hadoim ragloi, that this world that we're in is called the footstool of Hashem, which means kavyochol Hashem displays his feet in Olam Hazeh. Where are his feet being displayed? That represents kavyochol, the lowest level of revelation of the greatness of Hashem. That's these remozim that a person is given all day, every day, to bring him close to Hashem. Kavyochol, if that's, and what about Hashem's head, or kavyochol, the upper part of Hashem, we said that makes an appearance in this world, but only very short. The kavyochol, the feet of Hashem, what we call the feet of Hashem, that's what's constantly found in this world. Whereas kavyochol, the upper parts of Hashem, that only shines within Olam Hazeh, behe'ora ba'alma. You know, it's a blast of light, and then it pulls, but kavyochol Hashem pulls it out. This is pretty much where we're up to so far. Now Rabbi Enizal says, "Vafilu mi sheyodea umeivin boze." Even if a person is already zoche to be on a madrega where they're aware of this and they understand this, haynu shezoche lohovin horemozim shemaramoz loy Hashem isporach bechol dover. Imagine how much a person has to learn and daven to get to this level, where every single message and hint that Hashem is giving to him, he takes all the hints, he understands them all, and he catches them all, and he knows exactly what's being said. Vim kain yirtze lasik rak bozeh. If a person's on that level, shul or anything, because what does he need that for? As far as he's concerned, he can walk in the street, or go in a forest, or be lying in bed, and understand the communication of Hashem from everywhere. So what does he need to be limited in any way by a gemara, or by a set, you know, by that, those items? Rabbi Nizal says, "Hainu sheyasek rak beiskei olam hazeh." Such a person will want to just be involved in regular, typical iskei olam hazeh. Me'achar shehu meivin horamozim shashem isvorach marames bohem. Since he knows how to read all the messages within iskei olam hazeh. Ach be'emes einoy kein. However, that's not really the right way. Kitzorech ha'odom sheyieloi histapkus. A person has to have.
You have enough.
A person has to be satisfied with a minimum of olam hazeh. Histapkus means to be satisfied with the minimum. Lehistapek mizeh ha'olam. To be willing to do with the minimum of this world. Rak b'mashet zorech loy behechrechies mizeh ha'olam. Only the minimum that he must have in order to get along, to be willing to do that much. For example, it comes to shopping. A person wants to buy food, let's say. There are people who can make a whole investigative analysis about it. They want to buy fruit, they'll go to 3-4 stores and analyze which one is better and which one is less expensive. And it's a whole project that takes away a lot of time and a lot of brain. On the part of a person is devoting a lot of brains to it. Whereas another person says, one second, this is Olam Hazeh, this is Gashmius. The faster, the better. The faster, the less involvement, the less taking time and effort and brains into it, the better. That's the attitude a person's supposed to have whenever it comes to Gashmius. True, but there's obviously all kinds of extremes that people take this to. And again, there are people who becomes a preoccupation throughout the whole week. Every day they're buying different lahavdil. I don't know how it is here in Eretz Yisrael, in America. I know there's people buying different newspapers to read the advertisements. This newspaper advertised on Tuesday, this one on Wednesday, this one on Thursday, to read all the advertisements and then compare all the prices and taking it too far. Literally taking it too far. A person's trying to like save Hashem a lot of money. In other words, there's a certain level where if a person knows that this item in this store costs $5 and this store costs $3, naturally you buy it you choose the less expensive store wherever it's possible. But to make a whole Torah out of it and to make a whole Avodah out of it, that's what Rabbi Nizal is saying here, that when it comes to Gashmias, a person has to be have a stop, because the less the better. That's the attitude. The less involvement, period. V'zeh machmas beiz taimim. And there are two reasons for this. Echod, machmas shezois hagdusha hamelubeshes be'iskei hoylam hazeh hu bechinas raglin. We just said before that the kedusha that's found within the gashmias of hoylam hazeh is kaviyochel what's called the feet of Hashem. True, Hashem is there, and Hashem is sending messages there. But it's the lowest level of his galus of Hashem that's found in those items. V'hi kedusha nemucha. It's the lowest type of kedusha. It's bebechinas, as the pasuk says, avoin akevai yisubeni. The literal translation of that is, the sins of my feet surround me, in a sense. But Rabbi Nizal interprets this, that the ikvim, the feet, which represents the lower kedusha, avon yisubeni, are surrounded by sin, surrounded by klipa and tuma, meaning that even though it's a kedusha, the raglin of kedusha is still a kedusha, but you know that type of kedusha has much more klipa attached to it and surrounding it than the higher levels of kedusha. Shehaklipos mesavivin oisa tomid. That kedusha is always surrounded with klipos, veroitzen linak mehem, and they want to draw from there. When it comes to these gashmius items, let's say achila, or any, let's take for example the taivos, taivos momoin, taivos achila, taivos meshagel. These items are gashmius items, and there is an aspect of kedusha in all of them. There's no question. There's an aspect of mitzvah and everything. But because of the fact that it's gashmi, you have to know that it's much easier for a person to fall into tuma from that than it is when it comes to tefillah or Torah or mitzvahs, those kind of items. Now, a person who's trying to get involved in the kedusha within those gashmius items, in most cases, because that's this raglin kedusha, the klipa is surrounded and it's easier to fall in. Alkein hu mokoim mesukan. Therefore, it's considered a place of danger. there is kedusha there, and there are messages to be gotten from there, but it's a dangerous item.
Noga.
Exactly, sort of like a klipas noga. Bechein tzorech lehistapek rak behechrechias. Therefore, when it comes to involvement with oilam, with the gashmias of oilam hazeh, a person's got to stick to the minimum that they need to exist on. That's one reason. The first reason is because of the klipa is there, it's a mokai mesuk and everything. Voi, the second reason is, machmas shiesh avoida gavoya mizu. Because there is a higher form of serving Hashem than this reading messages from the gashmias items. Shehu kedusha gavoya mimenu, which is a higher kedusha. And a Jew is supposed to strive to serve Hashem with the higher avoida, the higher kedusha. Hainu. Now here, Rabbi Nosson Zal clarifies a little. Shafilu hatzadik v'hachocham sheyeshloi moyach godol at sheyochoy lohoven es horamozim shashem izborach marameis loy b'chol dover b'chol yoim afilu biskei choyl. Even the great tzadik, the great chacham, who has this level of insight to understand the messages are being sent to him in iskei choyl every single day, v'idezeh hu yochoy lavid es shashem izborach b'chol advorim sheboilam afilu biskei choyl, and such a person could serve Hashem with everything, even gashmius items. So the person will want to deal just with this. He can come close to Hashem through those things. Still, a person is not supposed to be too involved in Olam Hazeh because of the two reasons that we mentioned. One reason is because this item of reading all the physical, you know, being involved purely in Gashmias and looking for Hashem in those items, there's a sakon in there, the sotan's right there, and there's a fine line between reading the heavenly messages there and falling into the pure Gashmias. And habayz, the second reason is machmashiyesh kedusha v'avoida gavoya mizeh. There's a higher kedusha than that. Dahainu kedushas haTorah v'hamitzvos. That being the kedusha of the Torah itself, limud haTorah and doing mitzvos maisius. V'alkein afilu mishi yodea haramozim anal hu tzorach histapkus listapik mizeh hoylam be'echroch yislevad kanal. This is the message that Rabbi Nizal wanted to give. I didn't mean literally. It does relate to it.
We're talking about a person who's looking for kedusha. He's trying to
serve,
right? Looking for the kedusha and everything in this world. I'm talking about a person who's going to buy who's steeped in the gashmius.
Not true. I'm giving an example. I'm saying let's say a person has emun and Hashem, and a person says Hashem is everywhere, literally everywhere. So don't tell me that I belong in a basement. Now it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I went to shul. I was a good boy. I davened shacharis. I went to shul. Finished. Enough. Tzimtzumim, enough constrictions. Now I want to go out into the world and see Hashem everywhere. Where's everywhere? Wherever I want, period. So that, let's say it comes to eating. You say that eating is gashmias. I say it's not gashmias. I say that you can see Hashem wherever you can see Hashem in trees. You can walk in the forest and look at the beauty of all the different types of leaves and see Hashem and appreciate, get an appreciation for Hashem in that. Or, I'm saying for the example, in terms of gashmias, in terms of pleasure, it's understood that if I eat lower grade food, I'm going to get less pleasure, less of a high, than I'm eating better quality food. Or I'll feel a more degree of a satisfaction. Certain people get a certain nachas ruach, knowing that they got the best, you know, again, that they did this whole big investigative analysis, and they feel they beat the world in getting the best price, that kind of thing. But I'm saying there's a certain level, and it's elikus, it's serving Hashem. It's not being over on Baal Tashchis. There's a certain aspect of mitzvah involved there. The sotan is in slavish in a mitzvah sometimes, in convincing a person that this is also Avodas Hashem. But the person doesn't realize that there's two branches of Avodas Hashem. There's the raglin, which is the aspect of Hashem that's found in all of Iskei Olam Hazeh, anything that relates to Gashmias. And there's kaviyochel, this upper level of Hashem, that's found specifically in Torah, Tefillah, and Mitzvah. That kind of item. And to the extent that a person has to deal with a Gashmi world, to the extent that a person has to sleep, and has to eat and has to have a house. So in other words, again, it comes to buying a house or moving into an apartment, you have to do some looking into it. But there's a certain level of putting your whole might, looking too much into those things, looking too much for perfection in those things to a certain extent, that it's an area of sakana, where if a person gets too involved in it, they can get swallowed up by it because the satan's right there. Exactly. Even there. Right. And Rabbeinu Zal is saying that even there, it's mokoy mesukon moed. Because it's gashmius, saving money in gashmius, you should know it's mesukon. Get too much into that, chas v'shalom, it'll swallow you, and you'll see that after a period of a year or 2 years, how much did you win here? How much more would you have won if you would have been able to steal 30 minutes? A half hour a day of time to have a sheer kavu and learning instead of that whole balagan that you made yourself, you know, with all the chachmas in there.
So are you equating stavkas with gashmius, you know, the same item, whether it's quantitative or qualitative? In other words, does it make no difference whether
both.
You can spend 3 minutes but buy the most expensive and fanciest food, or spend 3 hours searching for the same thing.
Both could be mistakes, you understand? Both could be wrong. The example that's given by Rav Nachman Tolchinazal is that he never salted his food, he never asked for salt or spices. Why? He felt that that's too much. He drew the line for himself over there. Eat, I have to eat. Enjoy it. Where does it say I have to? Where does it say that I have to think whether the food is? In other words, there are certain people who you see, they go into a restaurant and they spend the first 30 minutes in the restaurant saying that the table is set nicely enough or it's not set nicely enough, or the lighting is good or it's too cool in here, or let's sit over there. The window is over here. I don't want to be near the cuckoo head. The same 30 minutes, you could have been looking into a say, you could have been talking about Hashem, you could have been asking what you learned today. And the other person could have said a short Dvar Torah, and you would have been 50 miles ahead. There's billions of examples of this. This is literally covering the whole umbrella of what's called Olam Hazeh Gashmi. Period. And Rabbeinu Zal start off by saying, you should know that there's Elokus there, there's Ramozim that Hashem is sending. So that again, for the 99% majority of the world that's working in Parnosa, in business, and they're spending 8 hours a day there, Rabbeinu Zal made it crystal clear that Hashem is alive and well there. And if you'll look for Hashem, you'll get Ramazim galore in there. But again, don't make that your Torah. Because the Mishnah still says, Aseh malachtecho arai v'toiroscho keva. That's the temporary thing. That's the hagdoma. That's the prosdor. The kvi is the main place. You'll find more of Hashem in an hour of learning Mishnayis than you might find in 8 hours of that. That's what he's telling you over here. Because that's Raglin and this is Moichen. You know, it's two different levels of...
How do we relate this to, as our job, to find the Ruchnis and everything in
special? That you're supposed to do it. You are. That when you... Breakfast. You have to eat breakfast. Now, breakfast could be a 30-minute production or a 15-minute production. And during breakfast, you could be thinking about the Gashmias, or you could be thinking about the Elokus in the breakfast. In terms of every single... Somebody brings you something, saying, receiving it. The wife puts the eggs on the table and it's burnt. And you have an isoyan of whether to say this is disgusting or tastes terrible, or accept it besever ponim yofois, because it says in Pirkei Avos that such a thing could be a form of tzedakah. Sometimes more than giving somebody a $20 bill is passing the test where the choice to make somebody feel bad or hurt about something or not hurt their feelings about it. And the person's literally grabbing all of those mitzvahs, grabbing all the ramazim, and catching each test that's thrown to him. He's playing ping pong with the satan. Each time an incident happens, he's reacting the right way. He's looking for the Torah in it. He's looking for the ramazim of kiddush in it. Maybe the fact, I was given burnt eggs, it's not her fault. She didn't burn the... Who decided that I should have burnt eggs for breakfast today? She woke up and made a decision that I'll fix him, I'll make burnt eggs? Or did Hashem say that because when I went to sleep, I didn't say Kriya Shema Lamita with kavona, or yesterday I didn't do, I missed my learning, or this, that, so maybe today I don't deserve to be given royal eggs. Maybe today, this is, Hashem is sending me a message that, hey, he's pinching me, you're not being given the royal treatment, because you're not so royal yet. Maybe if you'll do today better than yesterday, your supper will be better. Others, I'm giving, this is on all levels of examples of a person looking to take everything as a hint, as an excuse to come closer to Hashem. V'ha-histapkus hu bechinas oite oyer kasalma. And this concept of histapkus in Olam Hazeh, this concept of limiting yourself as much as possible within that raglin area, is what's referred to in the pasuk where it says, Kavyochel Hashem spreads out his light like a cloak. Hainu bechinas oyer mole. Note the word oyer there is written oyer with a vav, referring to real light. Ki harishoyim she'ein lohem ha-histapkus. By rishoyim who don't have histapkus in Olam Hazeh, they're looking for the full measure. They're going into that restaurant and they want to know that they're going to get their money's worth 100%. And if this dish isn't perfect, I'll make him bring it back 3 times and I'll sit in the restaurant for 4 hours till I feel I got it right, until I feel I got my money's worth, etc. So Rabbi Nizal says, a person who has that, bebechinas ubeten rishoyim techser, that person, he'll never get 100% because the option of 100% isn't available within that raglin, within that lower level in a sense. He'll always feel that he's missing something, something lacking. Etzlom ma'oras choser. By that person, it's not ma'oirois, lights, but rather it's ma'oras. Ma'oras means a klola. There's a bebechinas, as the pasuk says, ma'oras Hashem bebeis rosha. The curse of Hashem is in the house of a rosha. Meaning, a person who's looking for fulfillment within gashmias will never find. He'll always be chasing that closed fist. He'll be hungry. He'll always see chisroinus. He'll never see shlemus. Aval b'tzadikim sheyesh lohem ha-histapkus. But a tzaddik who has his stopkus, he uses a pen, he's not going to use the junkiest pen around that's going to break on him every 2 minutes. He'll buy this, he'll buy a certain quality, but again, he's not going to make himself nuts, making a whole science of it, looking for a $50, an $80 pen, $100, and this one, and all kinds of diukim, and always feel that there's some imperfection. He's not going to find perfection, going to find imperfection all along the way. Bebechinas tzaddik oichel esoiv anafshoi, as the pasuk says, a tzaddik eats to satisfy his nefesh. He doesn't eat to get the fullest out of the guf, but rather just enough to satisfy the nefesh. Etzlom hu oyer mole. By them, they're zoiched to oyer with a vav. Oyer mole, not oyer as in the word me'oras, which means chas v'shalom a klola. Escho oyer kitoiv. As the pasuk says, Hashem saw the light that it was good. What does it mean that it was good? Ein toiv elo tzadik. That this oyer, mole, oyer with an aleph, is found by the tzadik. Shenemar imru tzadik ki toiv. Because the tzadik is called toiv. So ve'ar lekimes ho oyer ki toiv. Oyer is found by the tzadik. Oyer choser, lack, the lack of light, which is me'oras. In the Chumash, it's written, Yihi ma'oirois berikia shamayim, that again, as a result of the fact that the moon complained and said that why should there be two kings, it said, Hashem said, Yihi ma'oirois berikia shamayim, let there be lanterns, but the word ma'oirois is spelled mem aleph reish tof, without a vav. So if you read it in the Sefer Torah, it could be read ma'oras. There should be a curse, berikia shamayim. The curse is that the moon is empty. This moon that's supposed to be a flashlight, it's got no batteries in it. You know, this concept of an absence of oyer. So this is, Rabbi Nizal says that this is the concept of oite oyer kasalma, that kaviyochol Hashem spreads out this oyer for tzadikim as a cloak for them. That even within the gashmias, even within this raglan of kedusha, where they can find Hashem, they have this understanding of histapkus b'muat. Now Rabbi Nizal says, if that's not bad enough, that's not difficult enough to tell a person that, listen, when it comes to anything gashmias, don't make a production out of it. Don't make a production out of your bed. The bed wasn't made perfectly well. This corner is out. Or the pillow is a little, I heard there's a better kind of pillow, a little, all the super involvement. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Vafilu mizeh ha-histapkus gufei, tzorech lahafrish mimenu. The best thing in gashmias, he limited himself. And he got what he wanted. He got the salary that he wanted, let's say. He's earning X dollars a week. Big Dusha, he didn't go looking for the best opportunity, the best job in the world imaginable, he got this on a certain level what he could get at that time. You would say, okay, Baruch Hashem, now he covered Hashem, now at least the money he's earning here, let him enjoy for himself. At least from that, let him get the full pleasure for himself. Can't. Even from that, he's got to take off some of it. Fitztaka. V'zeh b'chinas noite shamayim kayiria. This is where the pasuk continues over there to say that kaviyochel Hashem spreads out the shamayim, the heavens, like a curtain. Rabbi Nizal explains now this item based on the Zohar HaKadosh a little bit, where the Zohar HaKadosh talks about the Oron in the Mishkan, and the Kapoiris that was above it. And the Oron, in this case, represents the Malchus, in a sense. The Kapoiris above it represents like the Tzadik Yesoid, or the upper spheroids that are Mashpia into the Malchus, as we'll see. Ki Oroin Habris, Shehu Bechinas Oni, the Oroin Habris, which represents the concept of the Oni, the Malchus, who Tachas Hayiria. It's under a certain type of a covering. Vahayiria Mashpia La Oroin Habris. The thing that's on top, the rule is always that what's above is Mashpia to what's below it. So the Yiria is Mashpia to what's below it, to the Oroin. Vze Bechinas Tztoko. This is the concept of tztaka. Pirish, ki al yidei tztaka, shemashpia hanoisein lahamekabel, when a person transacts in tztaka, one Reuven gives to Shimon, aydei zeh naase yichud tzadik uknesis Yisrael. That makes a yichud of Yisoid and Malchus, the tzadik and Knesset Yisrael. Shebechinas tzadik mashpia leknesis Yisrael. Shezeh bechinas hashpoas hayiria leoroin habris. This is the concept of the yichud over there. Bechinas noite shamayim kayiria. Hashem spreads out the shamayim like a yiria, which is a mashpia to what's below it, to the malchus below it. Which means, again, Rabbeinu Zal showing us within a person's oilam hazeh. We're giving the example of a person going out to earn a living. And a person can, you have this term career, where there are people that will make a whole science out of it and involve themselves hours every day doing research to try to find the best career path or the super, super best opportunity that they can, where they'll feel they outsmarted the whole world in getting the best kind of career, best kind of job, etc., etc. And let's say you get a person who doesn't do that, a person who goes within a certain reasonable amount. It's gashmius, it's dollars, it's parnosa. I have to look. You don't just grab the first thing that comes along. I have to look to a certain extent, but not make myself totally crazy. You know, not a suba. It's not like looking into a toisvis. I'm not going to give it the same moyach, the same depth of concentration and moichen as I would, you know, when it comes to Torah, when it comes to those things. So now a person gave up already and took something which certain people would call mediocre. You know, they didn't go looking for the ultra, ultra best. And even within that, 60,000, take off a further level of histapkus, of saying 60,000 was sort of already limiting myself. I did, that was already sort of a minimum standard. Even from that, I'm going to still press myself in, squeeze myself in a little tighter because it's gashmius, because it's olam hazeh.
It still seems to me like the whole thrust here is shifting into a different mussar totally. Because we're starting off talking about looking for a mazon, and we're talking about a tzaddik, in a sense. We start off saying a person got to that level. He's tzaddik. We're not talking about a person who's getting it. There's no concept of him getting involved in it. He's looking for a mazon. It's like the mussar is for a different Torah. Torah talking about a person who is trying to conquer a taivas over here. This isn't the thrust of the Torah. It seems like the thrust of the Torah should be looking for a Muslim, and what has this got to do with the you know, like it starts with the Inyan of Estapkus, talking about how a person who would want to spend his life looking for the Muslim shouldn't be fooled into thinking that that's the
Tachlis. Exactly.
That's the Tachlis. But the whole issue about, you know, depriving a person's, you know, trying to be in the Ma'at, the Hanav, the Surah, whatever, that's like a, it's like out of place over here. What does this got? We're going off onto a different tangent.
Not at all. On the contrary, Rabbi Nizal started off presenting a certain aspect of serving Hashem, that there is this certain aspect of being attached to Olam Haba, and doing it on a general level and a detail level. And he showed how in the detail level it could be done in everything, to read the Ramazim that are found in everything, including the whole Gashmi cycle of a person's life, including the whole Olam Hazeh portion of a person's life. So he gave us that information, that realization. Then he said, reason is that that type of avodas Hashem is mesukan. That the looking for Hashem within that area is mesukan, because again, most people that get involved in parnasa and at first get involved, let's say lahavdil doctors, person goes to, he starts out with a lishma, he's studying for those tests and breaking his head and everything because he wants to help the world. And slowly, as he finishes medical school, he's become already sick of the whole thing, and he feels he's in debt to the university for $80,000 and everything. And by the time he comes out of there, the only thing he's looking for is how he can get more bucks, how he can move into a neighborhood where he'll be able to charge higher prices, or you know, get all kinds of schemes of making more money, or working out that his standard, he can't be caught dead driving a lower level car. Everybody knows a doctor's only allowed to drive a Mercedes or that kind of thing. Notice we're saying that within this framework of this whole parsha of the Olam Hazeh, the Gashmias, even though there's an aspect of looking for a Muslim there, it's very easy from that to get railroaded into the wrong place. That was one reason. And then Rabbeinu Zal came out telling us that you should know that the other aspect of Avodas Hashem, of Torah and Mitzvot, is a higher place. If you're looking for Hashem, Kaviyachol, there's a much greater concentration of Hashem, of His Galus Elikus in that than there is in that. And then Rabbeinu Zal said, and you should know that even the person, that's the first level of Histapkus. And even that, Hashem wants even a second level also.
Oh, wait, but the point is that Histapkus was the Histapkus of looking. In other words, of limiting the, let's say, the looking into the Olam Haba to get the Ramazan. That was, it seems, what the Histapkus was, not the Histapkus of involvement, Stam, in Olam Haba. So what's my difference if I just get, what's the difference if I just get involved in Olam Haba and I'm not looking for the Ramazan? You give me the same Musar. Don't get too much involved in Olam Haba. In other words, nothing to do with
not
me. I'm not looking for Ramazan.
No, he means Olam Haba. Not true.
Excuse me, in Olam Haza, I'm sorry. I'm getting involved in Olam Haza too much. You'd have to give me the same type of Musar. Don't get too much involved because of all these other... But I wasn't even looking for the Ramazan over here. What's the difference in the Musar? In other words, what's the difference that you would tell me?
He's telling you that even the person who is looking for the Ramazan, that's what he's saying, that for regular people who aren't looking for a Muslim at all, for them, for sure, how much Kedusha is found in their Achila, or in their shopping, or in their this, or in their that. But a person who's already a frum person, a person who's already a breslov chassid, and has been taught that all day thinking about Hashem, he's going on shopping, he's thinking about mitzvahs, and he's thinking about saving money for Hashem's kavod, so I'll have more money to use for buying a better esrig and better sforim. And you know, again, within that whole scope of gashmias, he's using his moyach to look for a Muslim for coming close to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal saying, even to that person, I want to tell them something. I want to tell them that in that whole area, histapkus. Don't give too much moichin and too much avoida into that. Reserve your heavy-duty avoida, your heavy-duty energy for Torah, tefillah, and mitzvahs. Those were his words here. It wasn't just saying, don't get too much into the Ramazan thing. He said, not listapek me lechapes Ramazim, listapek mizeh hoylam, rak b'mashet zorech loy, behechrochiyas mizeh hoylam. Those were his words. And that's in every aspect of Olam Hazeh. Anything that relates to Gashmis. Buying clothes, one person can take 3 weeks to pick out a suit, another person can do it in a week, he's probably better off. Why? Because there was a certain level of stopkus. He didn't let it go to a 3-week investigative thing. Comes to buying an esra, you know, this comes to a mitzvah or Torah, understanding an item in Torah, there put 10 hours into the Tosfos. Break your head for 10 hours to try, you know, to succeed at it. But all the items of Olam Hazeh, quantitatively and qualitatively, his stopkus. Try to draw the line as much as you can. On your level. It's not the same for each level. People have different natures and everything. What to one person is a stopkus, to another person is the opposite. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, v'hamoinam, now we go to the regular people who aren't into this at all, sort of. She'ein lohem zeh ha-sechel lahamik b'chol zeh. They don't have the presence of mind and the sechel, the level of frumkeit, to think that deeply into it. Where you're going to tell him that all day, whatever he's doing, going to work or shopping, this, that, he should be dovuk tashem. Lohovin or Ramosim kanal, nase etzlam kol zeh memeila. All of these things that we spoke about so far happen automatically by them. These madregos, the raglin and the yichud of tzaddik and Knesset Yisrael, all of these things happen automatically. Al yidei shena, v'tzitzis, utfilin, v'toira, utfila, umasumatin. These six items, sleeping, putting on tzitzis, putting on tefillin, learning Torah, davening, and doing business, these six items accomplish the same tikkunim on a certain level as the things we spoke about before, this being attaching your moyach to Olam Haba, etc. How? Ki hasheno hi bechinas la'ad beko machshavto bi'alma do'osi b'klolis kanal. A Jew going to sleep, simply physical act of going to sleep, is a concept of attaching your brain to Olam Haba. Bechinas Hashem Elokai Hanal. As Rabbein Zal spoke earlier about the level of Olam Haba that represents the yichud of the two names of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elokim. Ki b'shas sheino haneshama oile l'almadosi. Because when a person goes to sleep, the neshama does go up to Olam Haba. So again, a tzaddik is doing this. Reb Chaim Vitalzal was taught by the Arizal special yichudim to do, to make aliyas neshama. The Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh did aliyas neshama. He didn't do it by going to sleep. He did it with all kinds of formulas and Kabbalah and all of that. Rabbein Zal saying, you should know that he's not the only one that does this. Every yid that'll do anything, in even these kinds of avodas nolam hazeh, with a certain minimum standard of yiddishkeit. Again, we're talking about not where he goes to sleep without saying kriya shma lamita. We're not talking about where he goes to sleep, he sleeps five times as much as he needs. We're saying a person who's leading a regular, normal, what people call normal, simple life, his going through these motions of putting on tzitzis, going to sleep, turn on these same lights on his level. The tzitzis utfilin heim bechinas godalto mo'oid. We mentioned earlier the concept of godalto and mo'oid. Godalto meant a hagdolas hasechel, an expansion of the mind, expanding your brain on a level where you're looking deeply into every single thing that goes on and finding the Hashem in it. And we said that mo'oid was tzimtzum. Toiv mo'oid is the malach hamoves, the bechin of din. Mo'oid meant that not doing it to infinity, but doing it to a certain limited capacity. Who? The biggest tzaddikim are being oisik in this godalto mo'oid. Rabbein Zal says, so is every single yidla who puts on talis and tefillin every day is also turning on the godalto mo'oid. When a person puts on a talis in the morning, they say these words, Baruch Hinashis Hashem, Elokai Gedalta Ma'oid, Hoid Vod Olavoshta Oitka. They say the same thing. Rabbein Zal says, Ki tefillin heim bechinas hagdolas haseichel kanal. The act of putting on tefillin is a concept of expanding your mind. Ki tefillin heim bechinas moichin ki yodua. Tefillin is called moichin in Sifrei Kabbalah. Hainu bechinas hagdolas haseichel lohovin kol horemozim shemaram ezle Hashem izbara b'chol yom kanal. The act of simply putting on kosher tefillin with a bracha in the morning represents the hagdolas haseichel for the hamoinam. Again, it's not identical to what the Arizal did or the Baal Shem. Their concept of hagdolas haseichel was on a much, much higher level, but it's not that the simple people have no shayches to them. The simple people are going through the same exact track, but turning on the same lights, but by him it's 100 watts, and by him it's 1,000,000 watts, that kind of thing. But it's not that they're left out. V'tzitzis, hu bechinas hat, tefillin is the hagdolas haseichel. Tzitzis is the tzimtzum, shehu bechinas ma'oid hanal, ki tcheles karsaya dedina, because the Zohar HaKadosh says, we know that according to the Gemara, the main part of the tzitzis is the tcheles string. Nowadays, some people hold that we don't have tcheles, but still, the fact is that within tzitzis, al pi Gemara, al pi Halacha, al pi Kabbalah, the ikar is the tcheles string. So, and what is the tcheles? That blue color is the color of the kisei hakovod. And the kisei hakovod is called karsaya dedina, the kisei of judgment, kisei islamishpot. Judgment is a bechin of tzimtzum, shu bechinas tzimtzum. That's this ma'oi, that's this gvul that we spoke about earlier. That the super, super big tzaddikim who are doing this hagdolas haseichel, we said they have to do it with a tzimtzum. The little yidolo who puts on tefillin, putting on tefillin alone isn't good enough. Tefillin is moichin. To the moichin, you have to have a fence around the moichin. The fence around the moichin is the tzitzis, the talis. That's the tcheles, the kisei hakovoi, the din. Midas Ahadin, which represents the tzimtzum around the seichel.
Why is it tzimtzum?
Because we said that Iker Tzitzis is Tcheles. Tcheles is connected to Kisei HaKovod. The Kisei HaKovod is the judgment throne of Hashem. Judgment is Din Mishpot Tzimtzum. That's the path. And again, the fact that you wrap yourself in tzitzis, Hashem Moloch Geyu Slovesh. You know, the levush of a person is the malchus, the kovoid, the malchus, which is the tzimtzum, din. He's going to say it right now. He's going to prove it from a pasuk. Which comes first, according to Jews, night or day, Chaim? Vayi erev, vayi voker. The tzimtzum must come first. Which comes first when you buy an orange, the peel or the fruit? The peel. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'al kein tzitzis koidim letfilin. And it's for this reason specifically that tzitzis comes before tefillin. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Smoiloi tachas l'roishi v'achakach v'yiminoi techapkeni. Kaviyochel, when it talks about the yichud between Hashem and the Shechina, it says the left hand is placed under my head and then I'm hugged by the right hand. First smoil and then yamin. The Gemara says, smoil, when a person, the attitude that a parent is supposed to have for a child, or a husband to a wife, or a person in dealing with the Yetzirah is, smoil doiche, yamin mekarev. First to push away with the left hand, and then to bring close with the right. Ki smoil hu bechinas din. The left hand represents din, bechinas tzimtzum, shu bechinas tzitzis kanal. V'yamin hu bechinas moichen, bechinas tefillin. The right represents tefillin, which is moichin.
Now, is this referring to Taos Kutner, Taos, or Taos?
Both. Let's say both.
Then how come a Kutner how come someone not married doesn't wear Taos?
Because he doesn't have the tzimtzum yet. He's not capable of creating that keli yet that a person who's married is, in terms of the talis godel, you know. Clear? What do you want to say? What? By the Sfardim, even a cotton does. And again, you know, different reasons, there's different soidos as to why by them yes, by us not. Next world. We'll hold it over here for now. We'll continue. Notice here's this is one of the things that the Baal Shem Tov came to the world to teach the world, those people that read up on Jewish history at that time. One of the problems that was happening with Klal Yisrael at the time of Rabbeinu Zal and everything was that the Olam, the Litvish world, or the Torah world in quotes, came to a conclusion that there's two groups in Am Yisrael. There's the good guys and the nothings. There's the Talmidei Chachamim, and the rest of the world are zeros. They accomplish, they do next to nothing. If they support yeshivas, then maybe they have a shot. But as far as other than that, they're Tehillim saying, or they're sleeping and eating, or they're talis and tefillin, that's baloney. That's for goyim, basically. To be a true yid means to be learning Gemara with Tosfos, with Rishonim, Achronim, you know, etc., etc. And this is one example where Rabbeinu Zal wants to show. He's showing two tracks, the track of Tzadikim and Yoreim and Shleimim, and he's showing the track of Hamoinam, and he's going to show you how all of them have the same tachanot, the same stops. A train makes different stops, the express, the, you know, all of them have the same stops. Naturally, it's still not equal, but that shows you that they're both on the same program. You know, they're both doing the same. Because you... Rabbeinu Zal proves from a pasuk that the right way, that when it comes to kedusha, you need the tzimtzum first before you can have the oil. Not just because, that's one example. I gave you five examples. When you have fruit in this, the way Hashem created the world, which came first, night or day? The tzimtzum comes first. The rule is always that the tzimtzum comes first. So between tzitzis and tefillin, which is the tzimtzum, the tzitzis, then tzitzis goes first. Because the Torah symbolizes the lantern of the world. Another item that Rabbi Zal mentioned again in a different shir, but it's about the topic that we're on now. It's interesting, the Gemara uses a term here that's very, very strange about the Sotam. The Gemara uses the word Impoga Becho Menuvol Zeh Mashikei Lebeis HaMedrash. If this despicable character, this disgusting character, the word Menuvol means disgusting or despicable. If he tries to attack you, drag him to the Beis HaMedrash. So many of the Mefarshim explain why is he referred to in this term. It's based on a Gemara, where the Gemara points out the fact that we know when does the Yetzer Hara come to a person. The Pasuk says, La Pesach Chatos Reveitz. The Yetzer Hara waits by the opening of a mother, waits there. As soon as the child comes there, he's there to meet the child, to greet the child, and to initiate his relationship with that child. That place is called a place of nivul. In other words, that's not a place that's usually presentable. It's a place that's kept hidden, covered. This is one of the reasons why the Gemara says we use this term about the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, because that's where he begins his initiation in dealing with a person. However, Rebbe Zal once mentioned, we know that based on the Sifrei Kabbalah, based on the Gemara, even the Gemara tells us that each and every malach in heaven has a name that he's referenced by in heaven. For example, this angel whom we talk about, the angel of death, the Satan, that's not really his official name in heaven, because each and every angel in heaven has a name that ends with the word Kael, such as Gavriel, Michael. An angel's name usually ends with the word Kael. The Gemara mentions, and this is found in many Sforim quote the Gemara, that the name of the Satan, the Satan is called Samach. We're not permitted to say his name. The Arizal says that any one of the angels whose name is not a common name used by people, if a person mentions the name of the angel in vain, chas v'shalom, or in general, by mentioning the angel's name, he's summoning that angel. And it could cause chas v'shalom damage to the person if he does it. Therefore, the Arizal says a person is not permitted to mention the names of angels unless it's, for example, these common ones, Michael, Gavriel, which are used as names of people, those were permitted to say. But the name of this malach, the Satan, is called Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. The Samach has a patach under it, Sa, then the Mem has a comets under it, Mo, and then Kael. That's the name of this angel. And the Meforshim bring many different Ramazim about this. For example, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the main test that a person is sent to this world to battle, the most important test that a Jew is sent to this world to battle, is the test of dealing with bad thoughts about women or bad types of relationships with women. The Zohar HaKadosh says we find this hinted to in the name of this angel. His name, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, is Bigimatria, the sin of Niuf, Nun Aleph Pei. We have the Ten Commandments, Loi Sinof. We see in this angel's name what his main mission is. His main mission is to try to trap a person in this sin. Just like the Malach Rifael, his main mission is Rifuah. That's why it's hinted to in his name. So Rebbe Zal once mentioned the fact that you note that the Gemara uses this word Menuvol about him. This word Menuvol is also Bigimatria, his name. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed with the Kelel is Bigimatria Menuvol, showing that this title is very, very fitting for this angel. He is known as despicable, disgusting. Another important item, Rebbe Zal finished talking about the concept of a yarmulke. It's interesting to note the fact that we wear this. The question is, if we need a reminder to remind us about the presence of Hashem, why don't we wear something special on our hands? Why don't we say that the tzitzis should serve that purpose? Or the tefillin, or something we wear on our feet, shoes. Why is the item which represents fear of Hashem worn on the head? It's based on a pasuk. We say every day, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem. Above Chachma, you place the Yiras Hashem. And this is an item that the Mishnah stresses in Pirkei Avos, and this is an item that Rabbein Azal stresses tremendously. Many people who try to become religious and they don't realize where the most emphasis is to be placed. There's no question at all that a person who doesn't study a lot, a person who doesn't know a lot, is not going to know how to be religious because he's not going to know the laws. The Pasuk says, the Gemara says, V'loi am haaretz chosid. A person who's an am haaretz, who's not learned, can't be religious. At the same time, between the two, which is categorized on a higher level throughout religion across the board, there's no question at all that between the two, fear of Hashem versus knowledge of Torah, fear of Hashem is considered much higher. And this is the symbolism that we have when we wear the yarmulke on top of the head to show that regardless of how much seichel a person could acquire in his brain, he always knows that he has to crown it with fear of Hashem. If he's missing the crown, he's no longer a king. We know the Gemara says about the Jews, Bene Yisrael, Bene Malachim Haim. The Jews are referred to as princely. A prince, the item which makes him kingly is his crown. And the crown of a Jew is his Yirah Shemayim. Halavai, we should be zecha to study the Torah the right way, Lishma, and to be zecha to Yirah Shemayim, and to be zecha thereby to get to see the coming of Moshiach. Note that Moshiach, who is the symbol, the main king of the Jews, the final king of the Jews, the Pasuk says about him, V'horechoi b'yiras Hashem. His greatness will be his fear of Hashem. He will smell from fear of Hashem, because again, that's the yarmulke, that's the crown that a Jew wears upon his head. You picture, Rachmana Litzlan, people who are ashamed to wear it or afraid to wear it, that kind of item. It's like you picture a king who's ashamed of his crown. That's the most silly item conceivable. A person has to see to it to take tremendous pride in that we're privileged, that Hashem gives us the privilege of wearing this crown, and to wear it with that kind of pride. Ish imoi va'aviv tira, a man singular, his father, his mother, and father he should fear. It says ish imoi va'aviv tira. So the Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Medrash, which says, if it says ish, I would have thought this only refers to a man. That's why it says tira'u, to tell us that this law refers to both male and female. If it refers to both male and female, why does it say ish? To teach us that there is a difference between male and female. Usually, a male is more in control to be able to do whatever he wants. A woman usually has the control of someone else over her. In other words, a daughter in a house usually is more under the control of her parents than a son. A son is usually more under his own freedom, more independent, more outgoing, more independent than a daughter. Therefore, the pasuk is an extra warning. Ish, imoy vav tiro, even ish, where you think you're more independent, you're more under your own control, you should know that you were giving an extra warning to show respect, to show subservience to parents. That's the answer. Then a son. A son is usually more under his own freedom, more independent, more outgoing, more independent than a daughter. Therefore, the pasuk is an extra warning. Ish, imoy vav tiro, even ish, where you think you're more independent, you're more under your own control, you should know that you were giving an extra warning to show respect, to show subservience to parents. That's the insight.